Good morning. Good afternoon.
Okay. Hello. Good afternoon.
You're the first.
Okay.
I've started to put the recordings on the recordings file again.
Okay, good.
I haven't done any of the older ones, but I will start to get around that. So, but at least it's there now, starting to do it regularly.
Okay, thank you. We'll keep praying that helper comes along. Thanking. I think the prayer is already out, so we'll just keep thanking that it's happening, coming about, on its way.
Did you have a good session with your family?
Yes. Tony wanted to bring him a birthday cake because it was his birthday yesterday, although we usually, you know, don't celebrate it until his dad comes in. But Tony was insistent he wanted to do it. This is our grandson that does not leave the house. That's not a real problem, and I think he just needed to know that he's loved no matter what.
Has it been before the pandemic or just since?
Oh no, this has been going on since high school graduation, years.
Is it somebody who didn't, who made the conversion with you or did not?
When he was, I would say probably, well, I don't know. He wasn't very old. With the two boys, they were about probably seven. He was probably about seven. And his brother was about five, and they're as different as day and night.
Right.
Not only in looks, but in personalities. And he was so smart. He learned to read before he was in school. And when he was 18 months old, he didn't just know the alphabet. You could give him anything, and he took the Tabasco sauce and... You know, you could go T-A-B-S-C-O. So I taped him because I just thought that was so amazing. And I had him recite the alphabet when he finished. And when he got to W, he couldn't even pronounce W at 18 months old. He was Dovu, you know. It's a long story, you know.
Sure.
As to the cause, he's seen psychiatrists, and I don't know, once you reach a certain age, the parents can't really do anything. The person themselves has to be the one to elicit the help.
Right.
And, I mean, I mentored him for his bar mitzvah. Even the rabbi said he had he's just really good with them. With the Hebrew, but I felt like it was because he learned to read phonetically. So once he knew the symbols, you know, the Hebrew letters, well, it was no problem for him because that was the way he learned to read.
Right. So what is his spiritual practice now?
Probably nothing.
Is he living by himself?
He doesn't, doesn't want to be around people. And and it was he was on medication when he was in school.
Right.
And now he's just the opposite. And, you know, his Hebrew name, well, his name is Joseph. His Hebrew name is Yosef Shlomo.
Okay.
And he gave him that name because he was so hyper, we thought it would calm him down. At least his dad did.
Well, you were hoping anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But is he married right now?
Oh, no.
Never been married?
No.
Does he support himself?
Well, he worked for a while, but he's not, you know, he's not working anymore. He also has some health issues, so it's a complicated situation.
Everybody's life is.
And when we try to talk about it, it upsets his dad. And, you know, it's just, you just can't talk certain subjects. That's all I know.
Why don't you give him my number and suggest that he calls me and do that privately?
He wouldn't call you. I can tell you that. The rabbi calls him on his birthday. And I was surprised he did talk to the rabbi. Now, I don't know if this year, but he won't accept any help because the rabbi told me the rabbi has a daughter that's she's more outgoing, but I don't know if we would say autistic or not, but anyway, we've just not gotten anywhere with it. I'll ask him if he'll talk to you.
Well, just make the suggestion. Don't ask
right.
him.
Okay.
Make the suggestion. Give him my phone number.
Okay.
But don't do that in front of anybody else. Just you.
Right.
You speak to him. If he calls, he'll call. And if he's not, you know, he doesn't. There's nothing lost by giving him the number.
Okay. Well, we should get together probably Sunday when his dad is in. His dad works a week on it, a week off right now. But they're shutting down where he works because since Biden's been in, they haven't done a thing with the oil. So this week they're emptying all the oil from whatever you call the containers or whatever. His company has promised that he'll have a job, but they just don't know where. So there's, you know, he's kind of uptight too.
Right.
And at the table the other day, he made the comment he didn't want to talk about it. So we just kind of
let it go.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised nobody's come on.
And nobody's come on yet.
Okay, well, I hadn't had a chance to send you that email.
Has joined.
Now somebody came on.
Okay. I can guess who it is.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We will begin with the L'shem Yehud, and then I believe we are starting where we left off last week, which is the beginning of Tiferet. Unless I missed that in the bent sock, but my record showed T. Ferret. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu Uthilu Uthilu Urchimu Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe The Yehudash Alim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maseh Yadenu Kunene Aleinu Maseh Yadenu Kunenehu. We are continuing our study in evolution of God, and we are giving some basic information regarding the Sephirot in this chapter, which is section 2, or chapter 2, section 9. Tiferet. This is the attribute which is called the heart. As such, Tiferet is the specific revelation of Hashem to his creation in time and in space. Tiferet is the balance created by the proper alignment of Chesed and Gevurah. Tiferet is also called justice, for herein are the basic forces underlying the universe harmonized and brought together into a form wherefrom justice manifests. This one paragraph would take at least an hour to properly evaluate, properly understand. The language that Rabbi Bar Sadok is using is unusual. We don't normally think that Tiferet is justice, but it is. Why? Because in the frame of reference of our physical world, when you balance Chesed and Gevurah, you reach a balance, you reach a semblance of form. And that's why Rabbi Bar Sadok is using this language that the universe is harmonizing and bringing together Chesed and Gevurah into a form, meaning a body, where justice manifests. We don't think in terms of Tiferet having a form. But every portion of the central column is essentially that balance point. And that balance point is a form. It's not, I was about to say it's not a natural form, but it is natural. But the concept of a balance point, a fulcrum, as in the teeter-totter. The two sephirot, the two columns, right and left, sharing and receiving, they need to be in balance. And that balance is a form. It's a body. It's a place separate from either one. And that separation is actually a unification. And this is the paradox that's built into the central column. In anywhere you see or perceive or discuss the central column, you are talking about a paradox. It doesn't exist. Yet it does. It does exist. I'm continuing. Tiferet embodies and unites these six sephirot, which are called the midot, the attributes. They are also called the six ends. Why are they called midot or attributes, and why are they called ends? These are questions that you need to meditate on. You need to understand why are they called midot? Well, because they're talking about emotions. And emotions change. So do your midot, your characteristics, your attributes. They change. They grow, they decline. The six are many times referred to as the six appendages of Tiferet, for everything revolves around justice. Justice is the heart of the universe. This is why Hashem's holy name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is associated specifically with this Sephirah. The justice that is Tiferet manifests itself as the written Torah, which is why the Torah deals with laws. The laws of the Torah are the laws of Tiferet. They are the universal laws of the universe and the source of primordial justice. This is why it is paramount for a Jew to observe the mitzvot of the Torah. Only in this way is the child of Israel in alignment with the universal force
has joined
and justice. Is justice balance? Why is he saying that they're separate? That the universal force of balance, and then there's another universal force of justice. I'm not going to answer that question, but you need to invite the energy of balance into a meditation and ask it questions. What is its difference between justice and balance? Tiferet, as the embodiment of justice, must execute its judgments. This gives us rise to the next two Sephirot, Netzach and Hod, which, while they are two in number, act as the unified executors of the judgments of Tiferet. This second triad of Sephirot, Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet, are abbreviated as Hagat. We're moving on to Netzach, but we all know that there was a lot of questions should have been raised, and I'm sure were raised, in our minds as we evaluated the words that Rabbi Bar Sadak uses to discuss Tiferet. I asked the question, why are they called six ends? One of the reasons that is given by the sages, they're called six ends because there's no continuity to them. What is continuity? You move from one to the other. But there comes a point where that other becomes manifested. But within Zerunpin, we don't manifest you change your emotions constantly change yet you do you manifest your emotions you really don't manifest your emotions. You do actions based on the motivation of an emotion, but you don't really manifest the emotion. What does loving kindness look like? It's a motivation, but manifestation is a body form. This is one of the reasons they're called ends. We're now going to move on to Netzach unless there are questions. This manifestation of Tiferet comes forth on the right column of the Sefirot underneath Chesed and Chachma. As such, Netzach concludes the right column by carrying forth and congealing the expansiveness function of the right column. Netzach is expansiveness. Netzach is growth. Netzach is a form that is more. What wasn't said about Tiferet, it was said in words. It's a balance point. But it's the middle of everything. It's the middle from Keter to Malchut. The middle of that is Tiferet. It's the middle from right to left. The middle is Tiferet. Is there a third direction that we can describe that Tiferet is the middle? Whatever you place, you describe, the middle is Tiferet. And Tiferet is the middle. I needed to add that, even though I hadn't done it at the appropriate time. I'm now going to continue to read about Netzach. Netzach means victory, but can also mean conquering. Netzach is the outgoing force that is focused specifically into bringing order and organization. While order itself might be a left column characteristic, the desire to bring order comes from the expansive giving nature of Chesed. Netzach therefore manifests the outgoing desire that seeks to dominate for the sake of sharing good. But this word dominate is uncomfortable for Netzach. Victory is a form of domination, but only in a zero-sum game. Zero-sum game is a mathematical context where if there's a winner, there has to be a loser. But Netzach isn't really that idea of zero-sum. If you win, the other person can also win. That's what Netzach is striving for. Unfortunately, in our world, people don't seem to recognize that. Netzach is a product of Tiferet, for it is the nature of justice to want to impose order. And the imposition of proper holy order is an act of mercy and not severity. Netzach therefore conquers and dominates also as to impose merciful goodness. Netzach is the force that imposes the justice of Tiferet. This is also a paragraph that needs to be contemplated. The Sefirah of Hod, and was said in the section of Tiferet, that Netzach and Hod work in tandem. They're always together. Hod. This Sefirah complements Netzach in that Hod, meaning glory, brings home the benefits of what is conquered. For while Netzach conquers all for the sake of the collective good, Hod benefits from the conquering for its own personal good. Hod means glory. It is an attribute of the left column under Givurah. For like Givurah, Hod restricts and confines the expansiveness of the right column. Hod takes the outgoing benefits of Netzach and focuses those rewards for its own personal benefit. Thus, the justice of Tiferet is imposed through Netzach and enjoyed through Hod. The relationship of Netzach and Hod can best be compared to the traditional role of husband and wife. The husband goes out and makes a living. He expands the energy outwards to create, to maintain, and to expand his business enterprises. The wife, on the other hand, benefits from his work by using the proceeds to fashion and build a beautiful home for her husband, for herself, and for her children, and for their children. She translates the outwardness of Netzach into an inward form, the making of a home. This domestic spirit, therefore, is Hod. It is glory, the fruits of justice. Tiferet, when Netzach and Hod are properly aligned, there comes forth the ninth Sephirah, Yesod, which balances out the entire Sephirotic pattern, which is called the Etz Chaim, the Sephirotic Tree of Life. The next Sephirah is Yesod. It is here that all the upper Sephirot converge and meet. Yesod is the foundation of the Sephirotic Tree. It corresponds to the genitals, but not to denote sexuality, but rather to denote the creative energy, the libido energy that causes both creativity and creation. Yesod is born of the union between Netzach and Hod. When the forces of justice, Tiferet, rule Netzach, and its benefit, Hod, is felt throughout, the resulting order leads to the release of the creative spirit. This is Yesod. Yesod is also referred to as a tzaddik, righteousness. For only when there is complete harmony and balance in those spheres, the Sephirot, which motivates human action, can one behave in the proper and correct manner. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word for correct, tzodek, is the same root as the word for the righteous, tzaddik. For only one whose actions and motivations are correct before Hashem can be called a tzaddik. This is the one who embodies Yesod. Not only does one, such a one, think the right way, he is also charged with Netzach to bring the right way to others. So the prophet and sage were always at the head of outreach, at the outreach movements, always seeking to impose Netzach, the proper order, Tiferet, so that people would benefit the Hod thereby. This third triad of Sephirot, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, are abbreviated as Nahi. When all the Sephirot are in proper alignment, and thus all manifest creation is in harmony, The result is the final Sephirah of Malchut. Malchut. This is the final stage of creation, the lowest of the Sephirot and the worlds. In mankind, in Malchut, all of the above worlds merge in perfect union and harmony. This is possible because the laws of the universe of Malchut are different from those laws of the worlds above her. Malchut enables all the supernal forces of will, mind, heart, and motivation to become united and manifest in the realm of action, this physical world. Malchut, being the final stage of creation, completes the filling of the void from the surrounding light of God's ultimate essence. The Ein Sof, however, is as far as she is from the Ein Sof, Malchut is still the most important of the Sephirot. She is the icing on the cake of creation. When God began to create his universe, he contracted his ultimate essence from a point which was said to be the expression of his will to create. The center became the focal point from where the original contraction of Hashem's light began. This center point became Malchut. Although she was the last level of creation, Malchut was the original intent in the will of the Creator. We refer to this reality in the Friday night Shabbat song, Lecha Dodi, Come My Beloved. In the second stanza, we sing, Sof Ma'aseh B'machshava Tehillah. The Shabbat, which embodies Malchut, was the last creation, but was the first thought in the mind of God. Of all the worlds, only Malchut is physical. All the other higher realms are non-physical. This becomes extremely significant when we come to understand how the worlds interact and by what laws of physics they are governed. In the non-corporeal realms, time and space are different from how they are here in the physical world. In the non-physical world, there is no space as we understand it. Therefore, in order to define how close two things are to one another, we must redefine proximity, closeness. Here in the physical world, when two things are in physical proximity, we say that these two things are close to one another. This is most definitely not true in the non-physical planes. Without physical space, physical proximity cannot exist. Therefore, non-physical closeness is defined as similarity of form. When two things are similar to one another, we say that they are close to one another. This is not a foreign definition to us. I am sure we can each think of a number of examples to demonstrate this. For example, a husband and a wife, or a parent and a child, are, or at least should be, very intimately close to one another. Whether they be standing next to one another or living in a different city, their closeness is not different. Their closeness is not diminished by distance, or for that matter, by time. True love lasts forever. The bond of love, which is a non-physical entity, draws two people together, regardless of physical space. Therefore, lovers are always together from a certain point of view. We can use as another example two people of diametrically opposing points of view. Ideas, another non-physical entity. Two people who are completely different from one another, ideologically, can be placed in a single room and can even be physically touching one another. Nonetheless, their physical proximity does not in any way make them any closer to one another. Although their bodies touch, the viewpoints make them to be millions of miles away from one another. This then is where the benefit of Malchut comes into play. The laws of physics in Malchut are different from the other realms. Unlike the other realms, Malchut can serve to bring opposites into proximity with one another. These opposites can then be exposed to one another and communicate with one another. The potential herein is that the opposites can find common ground and thus merge together within that aspect of unity that is right for each and every joining. Malchut can thus unite all worlds, which is something that none of the supernal worlds can do. Although in the upper realms of Keter and Chokhmah, all realms are united, the unity of that place still only expresses potential. It is not until Malchut that potential becomes actual and thus fulfills the purpose of creation. The Sephirot therefore serves as the complete pattern that underlies everything in the universe. Here is the conclusion as it relates to the Sephirot, but it is not the conclusion as it relates to the worlds, which we will move on to next week. Hashem reveals an aspect of himself into creation. This is his will, called Keter. An insight, which is Chokhmah, of his will, manifests and is perceived by Bina. This expands Chesed outward to a point where it then starts to contract, Givurah. The result is a state of balance, Tiferet, which ordains the order of the universe. This state of balance or order needs to be imposed, Netzach, upon the universe, so that the benefit, Hod, of creation can be received. When this occurs, there is harmony, Yesod, in the universe, and everything is complete, Malchut. This is a very concise understanding of what the Sephirot are. Yet it is not enough to understand what the Sephirot are. One must understand how it is that they function within the universe. This takes us into the Olamot, the Sephirotic worlds. This is where we will stop, and next week we will pick up where we're leaving off, which is titled the Olamot, the Four Worlds. Does anyone have any questions or comments or thoughts on what Rabbi Bar Sadak or that I said today? Our next class is at 4:30 West Coast time. Will be a Deep Zohar class. I bid you all shalom. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful afternoon and evening.
Hanok.
Yes.
You didn't mention advanced reincarnation. Are you not going to have that class today?
Oh, yes, I am doing that. Thank you for reminding me. Our next class is at 1 o'clock, and it will be the advanced reincarnation. It's actually in about an hour and 15 minutes.
I'll do my best. I'm not sure.
Understood.
Thank you. It's a good class.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.